Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, musicians, and everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for allowing us to see this day, a day that we've never seen before. Amen. Thank God for this opportunity to speak before you and share of his goodness. Amen. I certainly was taken by surprise a few minutes ago, but I just want to say that if you find somebody that apologizes for the... When you find someone that apologizes for their actions, it means a lot, and it says a lot to that individual. Amen. So I thank God for the apologies that has gone forth. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I think I heard three. I think two males and a female. And I know it's more than that. Mark chapter 10. Beginning at the 46th verse. And I'm reading from the King James Version. It's because this is what I grew up on. This is what I study. This is what I'm comfortable with. I know they have the new King James Version, but I'm just comfortable with this. As I said before, the other translations leave out scriptures. So the more they try to... say modernize it or whatever, they leave information out. So I enjoyed the King James Version. 46th verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen for readers, hearers, and doers of God's holy word. I know I preached on this before, but even though you preached on something before, don't mean a lot of times you get the same thing from it. You can get something different from it. That's just how God works. Amen. You know, you can read it, study it, but I guarantee you, if you are truly getting an understanding of God's word, it will give you a different revelation. of what you just read. But this morning, what I wanted to speak to you about is just to kind of sum up this particular scriptures that I'm getting ready to teach on, I want to share with you about limitations. Amen. The definition of limitation is a limiting rule or circumstances, a restriction. Okay? So I want you all to keep that in mind. I'm talking about limitation and also speaking about restrictions. Now, some of the limitations that we may be aware of right off the top of our head is physical limitations. You know, do you have some physical limitation that is holding you back? So that's one aspect of limitation. The other limitation could be age, sex, ethnicity, and orientation. You know, do they exist? Yes, they do. Amen? They do. They exist. Is it okay? No. But bias exists, okay? Bias exists and restricts us in our career choices. So that's just what we deal with. Time is another limitation, restriction. Time can certainly be a restriction. This can go back to our previous point, you know, where age was mentioned. So, bad advice. This is an obstacle that I think everyone who has ever gone to school or pursued a career has encountered. Some bad advice from somebody. I know when I talked to my high school counselor, as I look back on it, he, and this is bad that I'm saying this, but I just have to be real. I'm in there talking to him about my career, my life, you know, what I'm going to do after school. He was so busy flirting with the girls that he didn't pay me no attention. So I got frustrated and I never went back to him. Money. Money is a restriction or lack thereof. It's a big obstacle to overcome. Education. Education can usually is one of the main obstacles that folks have to overcome when they want to change careers. A lot of times it could be, you know, you want a certain job, but then they say, do you have the right degree? Many times, let's say, for example, let's just use a resume, for example. You know, I don't have any industrial background. Most of my resume will and go in line with office work or things inside of an office. So if I'm trying to get a job at the railroad, my resume is not going to be compatible. That's going to be a restriction, a limitation for me because I don't have anything that will put me in line for something of that magnitude. You follow what I'm saying? So that's a limitation, that's a restriction that I would have to deal with. Now, if it was something dealing with office work or dealing with computers, then I would be able to fit that career path because I've done that in my line of work. So in our own limited human understanding, we often find ourselves putting God in a box. I know we've all done that before. See, usually preachers are up here preaching and we say, like, we throw out a question. We really don't care if he answered or not. We know that it fits you. Amen? Because we all are here because of something. So it fits you. So we don't care, you know, a lot of times if people don't respond back, in a sense, because we know that we just got you on that one. But sometimes we put God in a box and limiting him. But the word of God tells us that we serve a God who is unlimited in his power. Okay? And in his knowledge, being, he is unlimited. Trying to understand the fullness of God is like trying to put the whole Pacific Ocean into a glass of water. It's into a cup. Y'all know that Pacific Ocean is not going to fit in there. So it is with God. Trying to understand him is not going to work. Okay? It can never happen, and it would never be possible. We would never truly understand God fully. I don't care who you speaking to. That's why if y'all ever notice, you have, if you put a bishop, doctor, a pastor in a room together, and if they disagree on something and one of them or two of them are wrong, I guarantee you they ain't going to back down. You want to know why? That's just that ego. You follow what I'm saying? That's that ego. Because my doctor's degree tells me that I know more than you. Not necessarily. It just means you went to school. Amen? And one thing I learned from my grandfather, and I'm going to tell you, the man never stepped foot in college, but you talking about some wisdom, man, you can't beat that. When I was starting out teaching Sunday school, he said this to me. He said, don't underestimate the class you're teaching. He said, because they going to know more than what you know. So he told me when I started teaching, he said, don't you go out there in deep water. He said, stay in the little shallow part. And I had enough sense to stay in the shallow part because I wasn't ready to swim. Amen? So when we look at the accomplishments of people around us, we sometimes get jealous of that person and begin to say that's not fair. How many of you all said that? Again, you don't have to answer because I know you said it. So how come it's not happening to me in my life? I know when I was going to school, I was still, you know, when I got of age, got my license, bam, man, ready for a car, right? We all been there, ready for a car. I was like, Mama, I'm tired of riding this 10-speed bike. And my friends driving their parents' car to school, and they even got a car. I'm like, oh, come on, Mama, you're making me look bad now. But we compare ourselves to others, and we want what they have. And so we say that that's not fair. How come it's not happening to me? How come I'm not being blessed like them? It's dangerous to think along these lines because we can become envy and jealous of others. So we miss out on what is or what we are capable of having or doing ourselves. Life at sometimes will not be fair. It just won't. I'm sorry. Life will not be fair. The decision you make to become a follower of Jesus Christ means you are choosing an unfair lifestyle. Watch me. You're choosing an unfair lifestyle. You cannot expect others to love you simply because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That's not going to happen. Everyone in the body of Christ, life is not fair. Not to everybody in the body of Christ. You will receive some spiritual gifts from God and not others. Some may have the gift of laying on hands. Some may have the gift of prophecy. Some may have the gift of speaking in tongues. Some may have what you don't have. You know, here's the thing. You know, my brother had a lot of talent. He has a lot of talent. He can draw, okay? He can flat out draw. You give him something, he can sketch it. And before you know, I remember my youngest brother, D, needed something for school. And D was describing to my brother what he needed. And before my brother was done describing what he needed, my oldest brother, Michael, has already sketched it out. And said, is this what you need? And my youngest brother, D, said, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, I need that. He was done. Now, if he had asked me, the other older brother, I'd have been like, okay, now let me see what I can trace. What I'm saying, my brother has a skill. He has a talent. Amen. He has those abilities that I don't have. Okay, should I walk around and say that it's not fair? No, there's people who can play the instrument without even reading music. That is a blessing. Who don't even have to read a note, but yet God has given them the ability to sit there in front of that, on that instrument, in front of whatever, and play a tune. That is a gift. Those of us who took music lessons do good to know where middle C is on the keyboard. Amen? But it's a blessing. We should not be jealous of a person who knows how to do that. So what I'm saying is, we can sit back and say it's unfair, or we can sit back and lift that person up and encourage them. That's what I did with my brother. I told him, I said, man, you can draw. I said, you ought to be getting paid for this. So what did I do? I encouraged him to draw paintings, to do all of that. I encouraged him so much so that, I don't know if many of you remember or if you've been down to St. Mary's Hospital, he had paintings, he had drawings up throughout the hospital. Some of you may not even realize that it was his drawing. You see what I'm saying? That's what I did. I encouraged him to do that, and he got paid for it. I could have easily sat back and say, man, nobody going to accept your drawing. Nobody want that. No, I encouraged him to utilize his gift. So God has something, in other words, special and exclusively for you because of who you are. Amen. This is a personal walk. We are all different with various strengths and talents. We are also different because of the limitations which we each possess. None of us are limited in the exact same way. The question is, will we learn from our limitation or use them as an excuse to not reach the potential God has placed within us? Now, I know some of you all say, okay, well, I'm wondering where the pastor is going with this. He just talked about blind Bartimaeus. I'm building a case like attorneys do. They build a case before they get to the point. Okay? So we as Christians are called to live in this world, not some dream or fantasy world about God coming down and wiping every one of our problems away. That's not going to happen. Sometimes we impose limits on our ability to deal with our problems because we tried something a long time ago and it didn't work. We have been limited in our ability to find a solution in God ever since that failure way back when, didn't work. Sins, with an S, grip on our lives is no stronger than the rope that restrains a circus elephant. Let me slow down because I want you all to understand what I'm getting ready to say to you. Elephants are powerful. I just read a little while ago, they just told this man there was a sign posted. In other words, they told the man, there was a sign posted of a speed limit going through this particular area. And it was where you drive. And so this man was going above the speed limit. And him going above the speed limit, I can't remember exactly where it was, but I just remember the incident where it was reported. This man ended up, hitting an elephant and made the elephant mad. So the elephant turns around and the elephant destroys the car and kills him inside of it. Okay? So he was warned. But here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Elephants are powerful creatures, capable of amazing things of strength. Yet trainers are able to keep them in place with the rope and a small stake in the ground. How is that possible? Why does the elephant allow this to interfere on its freedom? Because it's the power of nature. Listen, when an elephant is born, it begins through training. When the elephant is young, a strong chain is placed around the elephant's ankle and secured with the stake in the ground. The young elephant will pull, 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 and struggle until one day the elephant accepts the fact he wasn't going to get away. So it's built in his mind. So from then on, he has decided whenever he has tied, he's tied to a stake, he was stuck. The elephant has allowed the limitations which has been placed upon it to keep it from becoming what it could possibly be. Even when full grown and capable of freeing itself, the pressure of a simple rope tied to a small stake holds the elephant captive because it has grown to believe that it cannot pull himself free. The elephant's problem, listen to what I'm saying, is mental, not physical. Y'all get that? It's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. It doesn't cross the elephant's mind. He is not the same elephant he was years earlier without much strength. Nor does he recognize the stake is not nearly as strong as it once was. Some of us need to wake up and up to the fact that we are not the same person that we were back then. God has equipped us with additional strength, and if we get up the nerve to challenge what is holding us back, we could find a whole new world waiting for us to be in charge. Like the elephant, how many of us go through life hanging on to a belief that we cannot do something simply because it was said to us or we failed at it at an early age? How many of us are being held back by an old, outdated belief that no longer serves us? How many of us are having or avoiding trying something new because of a limited belief? Worse, how many of us are being held back by someone else's limited belief? This elephant can snatch that rope or chain out of the... Think about this. The elephant's trunk can pull that stake up. But because in his mind, he's thinking, I'm not capable of doing it because I've tried it before. That's what we are. We are programmed. Like I told you, we're creatures of habit. You don't believe me? Everybody is sitting in the same location you were sitting last Sunday. Amen? Because we're creatures of habit. We gravitate. This is, I'm not saying that anybody is saying this, but this is my seat. This is my location. This is my area. This is where I'm comfortable at. So we gravitate back to that same area because we're creatures of habit. So basically what I'm saying is you're just like that elephant. You think that this is where you should be sitting. So what I'm trying to get, many times we don't put the limitations in our lives. Somebody else put them on us, and we accept it. The limitation wasn't done by the elephant. It was done by somebody else. But the elephant has accepted the fact that they cannot destroy this stake or this rope. Y'all know that elephant weighs, man, thousands of pounds. Can literally snatch that rope up. There are times in our life when people change because of their limitations. And I would say, I'm just going to point out three. One is when they hurt enough that they have to. When they learn enough that they want to. They receive enough that they're able to. Those are the three times in life when people change because of their limitations. The Bible says there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. There may have been a time for you to be where you are, but that doesn't mean you stay there forever. Your limitations don't always have to be limitations if you place them in the right season of your life. Let's just say, for example, we're going into the winter season. I wouldn't advise you to go outside without a coat on or without wrapping up in this wintry season. That's not the season for you to leave your jacket at all. You see what I'm saying? Your gloves, those things that will protect you during this season. The same as I wouldn't advise you to go outside with your coat on in the summertime when it's 100 degrees. That's just not the season for you to do that. In other words, you have to understand the season in order to understand what's going on in your life in order to overcome what is happening in that season. Many of us will overcome this wintry season because we understand what is coming towards us. Amen? All of us know that the winter, the snow, is coming. So what are we doing? We're preparing ourselves right now through this season. You ought to do the same thing when something happens in your life. Know the season that you are going through. There are some limitations which are facts of life that all of us need to face. There is the limitation of our days. We are all going to die, and we don't have forever to do what we want to do. There's limitations. I didn't give this particular scripture, but it's in Psalms 90 and 12. It says, teach us the number of days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Don't plan on coming to Jesus tomorrow when the opportunity is here today. Amen? Why are you waiting to come to Jesus? You know, I heard when I was at the barbershop some years ago, you know, this is right when I cut my curl off, you know. I went back to the barbershop because I'd missed a few years. But when I went back to the barbershop, I had some guys, they were talking. They said, man, I ain't going to get saved or go to church until I get old. And I'm sitting there listening to these guys. Who's to say you're going to get old? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, I'm listening to these guys. They say, man, I'm still kicking it. I'm still going to do it, man. I'm going to wait till I get way up in age when I can't do it no more. This could be your last time. You don't know that. So this brings us to Bartimaeus, okay? So the first thing I want you to notice here is that Jesus is leaving Jericho. On his way to Jerusalem, there was a large crowd following him. But I know there were a lot of people in that same town that were too busy to go out and see Jesus on that day. Y'all know it had to be. Some people just don't get up and do things. They use limitation and restriction, saying, well, sure, days of our lives are coming on, and I want to see this. Or there's a particular program or whatever. Those people figure that what's the rush to go and see Jesus? He's come through here time and time before. So I've got some limitations right now, but when he comes back through next week, I'll set aside some time and I'll go and see Jesus. Well, they may have had the best intentions, listen to what I'm saying, of seeing Jesus next week, but the fact of life is this was Jesus' last trip through Jericho. Why do I know this? Because he was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Wouldn't it be a great step if we could recognize when an opportunity was showing up for the last time or when we were about to give up something truly precious? So what I'm saying is this could be our last time here. You just never know, okay? So don't let your limitations keep you from doing what God has told you to do. Satan is determined to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. So do right while you have the opportunity to do right. As Jesus and his disciples were walking along with a large crowd, they were leaving the city of Jericho. A blind man named Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Bartimaeus had some limitations, is what I'm getting to, in his life. He was at the bottom of basically life's totem pole, okay, with little prospects for the future, and he was blind. He could hear the noise, but he couldn't see what was going on. But he didn't say, oh, I've got this limitation. Why should I even try to get involved? Because I got this limitation that I'm dealing with. Bartimaeus asked somebody what's going on. Somebody said, Jesus, the son of David, is coming by here. Bartimaeus said, are you talking about the, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing here you for a moment. Bartimaeus said, are you talking about the one they said that did some healing? That he gave the sight, he gave the blind sight to see and opened up the deaf's ears, causing the lame to walk? Are we talking about that Jesus? Just to make sure who we're talking about. And I can hear the person say, yeah, that's the one that I'm speaking of. And I want you to notice when Bartimaeus found out about this news, he didn't sit back and say, well, I hope he come this way. Y'all know that's how we are. We are some lazy people. Man, we are some lazy people. He didn't sit back and say, well, man, I hope he just come on over this way. I've been really having a bad time. You know, I've been having it hard. Life just ain't been fair for me. You know, I can't see, you know, what's going on. Bartimaeus recognized a once in a lifetime opportunity was coming. And if he didn't do something now, he might have blown it. Bartimaeus thought, I might not be able to see how to get to him, but there is nothing wrong with my vocal cords. He had a limitation. He couldn't see, but the man had a mouth on him that God gave him. So he started shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. When was the last time you were so bold enough to simply cry out to God and say, I need some help now? I don't care what others may say. I don't care what people think about me. I'm coming down for prayer because I know what I'm going through. I know what I need. I know that the presence of God is here right now, and I need a deliverance. Look at verse 48, and it says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted out yet the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now the crowd was not going to do anything for Bartimaeus. You know, folks don't like to help you anymore. So the crowd, they weren't going to do anything for him, but they had the nerve to tell him, man, be quiet. Be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you, worthless man. Beggar, we ain't already put some money in your cup. Won't you shut up now and be satisfied with what we just gave you? That's the way people think. We gave you a donation. Here's another dollar to shut up. Bartimaeus had reasons for feeling down. He even had reasons for giving in to his limitations. He could have said to himself, well, I've tried, but I don't want to keep making others upset. God put me here in this situation. He knows where I am if he wants to come to me. I should be happy that I did get some extra money from the people for making some noise. He could have been content, say, hey, man, well, they did put a little extra money, more than what I normally have at this time. I could be content with that. No, Bartimaeus was not facing a fact of life when others told him to be quiet. He was simply facing a problem. There was something he could do about this thing. The problem was, do I keep quiet to win the favor of others that are around me? Or do I keep as much noise as possible until I get the attention of Jesus and get my blessing? The negative discouragement of others, he took and turned it into his own advantage and started yelling out the more. He figured if those around them were telling him to be quiet, then those around them must have figured Jesus might be able to hear him. See, I want to tell you something. Blind people, we see that. How are they able to do that? You know, I noticed when Ray Charles, I watched the movie, and their senses pick up more than what we are accustomed to using. So as he was in the room with this one lady, he said, there's a hummingbird outside the window. And the lady was like, how do you know that there's a hummingbird outside of the window? He said, I can hear it. Well, she wasn't using that ability to hear the hummingbird. She was using her ability to see the hummingbird. See, a lot of times we use the limitations. Some people use a limitations that we are not trying to use, or some people do it vice versa. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that Bartimaeus, listen to what I'm saying. Bartimaeus was blind, couldn't see Jesus. But when people started telling him to be quiet, shut up, and don't say anything, they knew that obviously Jesus had to be close. Because the only time you tell somebody to shut up and be quiet is when something is close. Y'all see what I'm saying? So Bartimaeus, just because you have a limitation in your life does not mean others are going to try to help you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Those people around Bartimaeus could have, listen to what I'm saying, could have led him by the hand to Jesus, but they didn't. They didn't even want Jesus to know he was there. In order to move beyond your particular limitations, you've got to decide to do whatever you can to do for you. People are not interested in always seeing you succeed. Be prepared to go against the crowd to reach your potential. You might not always have all that you need to complete the process, but if you've got God, that's all you need to start the process. Amen? All Bartimaeus had at the moment was a loud mouth. That was all he needed to get Jesus' attention. In verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. When Jesus stops and calls you out, you may as well get ready for people to start acting different around you. When others see you are finally on your way up and out of your situation, all of a sudden, y'all, listen to what I'm saying, all of a sudden they want to be your friend. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah, let me just say this, and I'm going to use this in a nice, funny way. You know, you take a baby, for instance. You know, if you got something that a baby wants, that baby will hang around you until they got what they, you know, came to you for. Once it's done or it's gone, the baby's like, oh, ain't no more? Ain't no more. All right, I'm gone. I'm out of here. That baby is done with you. That baby is gone to do. But as long as that baby see that you have something that they want, they're going to hang around you until it's all gone. Once it's all gone, they're like, deuces, I'm done with you. And you're trying to get the baby to come back over. It's like, any more cookies? Ain't no more cookies? I'm done with you. I'm just putting it plainly so you can understand that's how we do just on a different level when we're older. You see what I'm saying? So if it happens when you're young and they can do that without knowing that they're doing it, surely you know what you're doing as you get older.
You know you done with that person because you got what you want from them. Now you don't want to fool with them no more. You ain't fooling me. See, I told you I'm under the anointing when I'm up here. You don't have to say, man, I know I'm under the anointing when I'm up here. And see, when Jesus stopped, you know, the group, now all of a sudden, you know, they are, the man is on his way up. See, they wouldn't do anything to help you get started, but they want a piece of your limelight. The same group that told him to close his mouth and be quiet is now saying, oh, cheer up. Jesus is calling for you. Let me help you over there, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they forgot all the reasons they had given him why he should have kept his mouth shut. Now, just suppose for a moment, what would have happened if instead of Bartimaeus kept on calling for Jesus, he had started telling off those who told him to be quiet? See, sometimes some of y'all have the attitude, well, I'm going to get this person told. But while you're trying to get this person told, Jesus is calling you for a blessing, but you can't hear Jesus because your mind is focused on getting somebody told. I know getting somebody told make you feel good, but it ain't going to benefit you in no kind of way. So therefore, Jesus is calling him. What if Bartimaeus was in an argument with the folks that's telling him to be quiet? He wouldn't have heard Jesus, and then all of a sudden, Jesus would have kept going. See, when Jesus called you, that is your time to respond. Y'all don't believe me? I guarantee y'all, any old school parent in here, when you say your child's name, you shouldn't have to say it twice. When you say their name, when you first pronounce the first few syllables in that name, they ought to know, oh, that's mama calling, that's daddy calling. They ought to know to go towards you. You ain't got to finish. You can say, Jira. He already know, that's me, because it ain't Sabrina. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So my daughter going to ask me, she's going to ask me, why did I call her name? Now, just suppose for a moment, what would have happened if he stood, if he kept his mouth shut and getting into an argument with folks over there, you know, could have lost his blessing. He didn't wait around complaining about who would help him get to Jesus or if someone would ask him to come over to. No, verse 50 tells you what he did. It says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. In other words, see, here's the thing. Even though the blind man didn't see Jesus, but he heard Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, his voice can lead you to where he is. So in verse 51, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him, I want to see. In other words, if you're coming to Jesus, you ought to know what you want. You ought to know what you're going for. It just kind of reminds me, my children, you know, when they were over to my aunt's house, you know, Auntie Barbara and Uncle Charles, they was over to their house. And they were sitting for them, and I was told about a story that Sabrina went to Uncle Charles and asked him for. He said, they called him Papa. They said, Papa, we want, then she turned to her brother, Jeremiah, what we want? When you go to a person, you should know what you want. You should not have to hesitate. When you go to a dealership, you know what you want. You follow what I'm saying? My daughter should have known what she wanted. She had to turn to Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, what do we want? Yeah, y'all understand that? Do they make sense? If you're coming to Jesus, you ought to know what it is you're coming for. If God said today, I'm willing to give you what you asked for, what is it that you're asking for that's going to make a difference? Bartimaeus could have settled for a lot less. He could have said, you know, Jesus, I've fallen on some hard times financially. Do you think you could make a sizable donation to my cup? Amen. Could have very easily said that. I mean, y'all, he's a little something in my cup. No. God has unlimited power to inject in our situation. And all we want from God is enough money to cover the bills. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life isn't determined by the amount of cash donation God puts in our cup. Bartimaeus' desire was to have Jesus better equip him to reach his full potential. So he wasn't so much concerned about the little change that he had in his cup. He said, Lord, I want to see. I want this limitation off of me. I want this restriction off of me. I want to see. Sometimes we take what we have for granted. Folks like, we don't appreciate. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's people who would love to have what you have. But we don't appreciate it. We just, you know, let me tell you something. Some of us probably got more than what we really should have. And that's one of the reasons why people don't invite over to their house, because if you see it now, they feel like they are obligated to, I don't know, let you have it. Because they ain't doing nothing with it but wiping it off, because collecting dust. How many know that when you go to the Lord, know what you need? You're calling him for a reason. If you call me on the phone, you're calling me for a reason. Just spit it out. Say what it is. What is it that you need? What is it that you want? Bartimaeus knew what he wanted. He was all, I can tell you right now that he said in his own mind, he heard about what Jesus was doing, traveling through. He said, if I get the opportunity, Jesus passed by me, I promise you, I'm going to say something. Y'all know how it is? You know, we say, when I get the opportunity, this is what I'm going to say, this is what I'm going to do. Some of y'all even rehearse it. Y'all know what you're going to say. You know what you're going to do. So what I'm saying to you this morning, Bartimaeus that day brought his shout with him. Amen? Yeah, I mean, he brought his shout with him. He said, hey, I may not have my sight, but man, I got my voice. So I'm just basically trying to say to you, how many of you brought your shout with you this morning? I know that, you know, some of you, you know how when you leave your phone at home, don't you feel like, oh, man, I left my phone at home. You feel like something is missing from you. So what I want you to say, Bartimaeus may not have been able to see, but one thing he brought with him that he had with him was his shout. So how many know that you shouldn't have walked out of your house this morning without your shout? God didn't call you to sit here on the pews to just sit and listen to me. He called you this morning to say a shout to him. He called you to the front line to use your mouth and open up and give him a shout. So as long as you're shouting his word, God will bless you. How many know that it shall not return to you void when you're shouting God's word? If he said it, then you should believe it. Amen? And he said, if I say it, you should say, I shall receive it. So how many of you came ready to receive this morning? I mean, receive what God is trying to give to you in your life. How many expect something this morning from God? There should be a reason that we should not be leaving here the same way we came. We should be expecting a move from God in our life. See, I hope that you're ready to give a shout to God. See, if you're looking for a mighty move from God, you got to give a shout, because that's what made Jesus stood still. Because Bartimaeus shouted. Let me tell you something. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Bartimaeus wasn't walking by sight. You can see that. All he had was his faith in God. So he was walking by faith and not by sight. All he did was heard that he healed a blind man. He healed a sick man, made the lame walk. He heard all these things. So what did he do? He cried out with a shout. He heard the word of God. Hearing the word of God blesses us. We need to understand that Bartimaeus could have very easily used his limitation and said, you know what, man, take me on home. There's too many people out here anyway. Ain't nobody helping me. I ain't getting no cup. This is a good day to get some money in my cup. Ain't nobody filling it up. No. Bartimaeus used what he had. See, here's the thing. We know that. See, the Bible talks about life and death is in the power of the tongue. God gave you the ability to speak. You ought to speak. You ought to say something. The only reason the Bible says you have not because you ask not. It ain't because the pastor didn't preach hard enough. It ain't because I didn't catch a tune or sweat up here. It's because you didn't open up your mouth to receive your blessing. It has nothing to do with me. I'm getting mine. Your blessing in your mouth. It's in your mouth. If there is a need in the house this morning, all you have to do is shout to Jesus. Don't shout to the pastor. I mean, you have to turn to him, the author and finisher of your faith. The shout of Bartimaeus caused a powerful move of God. His shout caught the attention, and in the end caused a miraculous healing that gave Bartimaeus his sight. There was power in Bartimaeus' shout. Y'all, I'm trying to tell you, there was power in his shout. People tried to shut him up, tried to get him to be quiet. Sometimes you just got to let it loose, let it rip. Don't care where you at or what you're doing. If you are on that same station with God, all you got to do is let it rip. And as soon as he heard, he started shouting when Jesus was near. How many know that we need that kind of shout? It's not enough to just hear God's word. We got to put something with God's word. It's not enough to preach the word with power and authority. Christians these days have to read the book and watch a movie before they can start believing. Isn't that something? Bartimaeus didn't watch no movie. He didn't watch any of that. All he did was heard the word of God, and he started believing. Some of us got to watch Moses and the Ten Commandments. And then we got to see, okay, yeah, he did part the Red Sea. I'm looking at that, and then we put our glass down to make sure that the Red Sea was parted. We do all of these things. We got to watch the resurrection. We got to watch these movies that they kind of leave stuff out in order for us to give some attention. Bartimaeus heard what Jesus done. That was enough for him to say, I want to get close to him. Just get me close to him. Enough where I can just shout out his name. Get his attention. A little shout goes a long way. We need to start shouting now. And don't quit until you get what you came for. Amen? Amen. If you came for something, you know, that's like when you go to the store, a restaurant. Let me say this to you. When you go there, you came there to get full, right? You came there to eat. It'd be sad for you to go to a restaurant and leave hungry. What did you go there for? Did you go there to eat? Or did you go there just to smell of the goodness? Amen. I mean, you just go there. Smells so good in here. And then you leave hungry. No, how about come to the table? Amen. And get a hold of one of the servers and ask for something. Ask for a menu and see what's on the menu. And how about you order something off the menu? This is what we need to do in our lives with God. We need to come to the table. Amen. Amen. We need to put everything here at the table. If you need something from God, you need to open up your mouth and say it. You need to speak it. You need to say, however you say it, say it. I mean, you need to open up your mouth and let it rip. Get the attention. Y'all know how y'all want to get the attention of somebody? Y'all yell out their name. And you call until you get them. You know, we have one person in the family that can whistle. And when you whistle, that person, everybody look, because you're trying to see who is that whistling. So what I'm saying is, whatever it takes to get the attention of who you're trying to get, you need to do that. You come here this morning with an expectation. You want to hear a word from the preacher, but really you want to hear it from Jesus. Because he's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can help you. Bartimaeus knew that the people that was standing around him weren't going to do nothing for him, because they ain't been doing. They've been doing what they've been doing. Either talking about him, putting a little something in his cup, or making fun of him, or trying to get him to shut up. But Bartimaeus knew that if he don't do something about his situation, he didn't use his limitation. He wasn't like that elephant who allowed something for...